Amen. That's a great job. Thank you, young people. You did a super job singing that song, and what a great message too, right? I am not my own. We belong to the Lord if we've put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ, and thank you for that. And I also want to mention, of course, right at the end of our service, after the preaching and everything, we will be doing a child dedication. We have about five families this morning that are wanting to dedicate their children to the Lord. And so we'll be taking doing that as well. So looking forward to that. But then also just a reminder, with it being Mother's Day, we do not have service tonight, so no service this evening. I know many folks try to get with family and get to be with mom and things like that. And so just a reminder about that. But also on the last Sunday of this month, the 31st, we'll be having a baptism Sunday. And so if you need to get baptized, you've gotten saved recently, and you need to follow the Lord and believers baptism, please get registered for that. You can do that right online on our website, fbceaton.com. Well, with it being Mother's Day, we're going to take just a week break from our series in the book of Peter, and we're going to go this morning to the book of 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter number 1, 2 Timothy chapter 1, and I'd like to just bring a Mother's Day message this morning, and although this is geared toward mothers, I think that these things that we'll find in God's Word are important for all of us, no matter who we are. But in 2 Timothy chapter number 1, 2 Timothy chapter number 1, and we'll begin reading in verse number 1 down to verse number 7. 2 Timothy chapter 1, and let's begin reading in verse number 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, according to the promise of life which is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my dearly beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. Wherefore, I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Father, we do thank you that we can come this morning. Lord, just thank you for the wonderful music. Lord, just the singing, lifting up Jesus Christ, singing of you and worshiping you. And thank you for the young people, Lord, singing and on a special day of Mother's Day, being able to honor moms this morning. Lord, we are very thankful that if we know Jesus Christ as our Savior, that we do not belong to ourselves. We belong to you. And Lord, I pray this morning that because that we belong to you, that you would speak to us as you would have us do. Lord, that we would be yielded to you, attentive to your word, and as you speak to our hearts, that we would be obedient to what you have for us this morning. Lord, we just thank you for each one who's joining us this morning in person. Thank you for those joining us via live stream. Lord, I do pray that you would work in hearts this morning as only you can. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Well, obviously, Mother's Day is a day and a time to honor the women who have shaped our lives. You know, some mothers influence through words, some through sacrifice and the sacrifices that they make, many through just quiet faithfulness that many times nobody sees. But when we come to 2 Timothy, Paul is writing his final letter. This is the last letter that Paul writes before his death. In fact, later on in the chapter or in the book, we find Paul thinking that very soon he is going to be executed. He's going to be put to death because of his faith and his obedience to the Lord. And so he's writing this final letter, and you'd think of all the things that he could mention to this young Timothy. He does something that I find very interesting. As he's writing this final letter to Timothy, who was his son in the faith, he points back to the spiritual influence in his life. And the spiritual influence in Timothy's life is a little unique. He points back to the spiritual influence of Timothy's life by two women. Two women. His mother, or his grandmother, Lois, and his mother, Eunice. And he points back to them. Notice, and he says in verse number 5, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice. So as Paul is writing this, again, this final letter, these last words of the Apostle Paul, he speaks of and he talks about the faith of these two women, the spiritual influence that these two women had in Timothy's life. And Paul reminds Timothy that before he became a preacher, before he became kind of mentored by the Apostle Paul and traveled with him in his ministries, before he pastored a church, he first had a godly mother and grandmother who taught him the scriptures and molded in Timothy's life a sincere faith in God. By a mother and a grandmother. You know, I would say the world often measures greatness by fame, by wealth, by our possessions, by what we have in our bank accounts or success, but I believe God measures greatness differently. Think about it. God didn't have to inspire and speak to Paul to write about it. He could have very easily said, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, and he could have stopped there. He could have just stopped at that point and gone on to the next part. But yet Paul, through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, makes sure that Paul writes about these two women that had such a impact and a spiritual influence in Paul's life that he brings them out and even calls them by name. I believe a mother who passes down genuine faith to their children leaves an eternal legacy. And I want to preach this morning on a faith worth passing down. A faith worth passing down. And again, I know this morning we're specifically looking at mothers this morning, but I hope that, you know, if you're a father here or a grandfather or a man or a single man or a teenager, you'd be like, well, this message isn't for me. Well, let me tell you something. If God can use two women to point out what he did in the life of Timothy, I think there's probably something we can learn from these two women. So don't just tune it out just because, well, this is for mothers. No. I believe this is for every one of us, but we're going to look specifically at godly mothers this morning and what I believe God can do through them. Notice, first of all, we find a godly mother possesses sincere faith. A godly mother possesses sincere faith. Notice, he talks about this unfeigned faith that is in thee. Paul says, I remember this unfeigned faith that is in thee, but notice, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and in thy mother Eunice. So Paul speaks about this unfeigned faith. Unfeigned faith. The word unfeigned means genuine. It's sincere. It's not hypocritical, right? It's real. And Paul is saying this faith that I find in you, Timothy, As Timothy is now a preacher of the gospel, Timothy is a grown man. He has been along with Paul through his missionary journeys, but now he is preaching the gospel and he is a preacher of the gospel. But Paul says, the faith that I see in you, this unfeigned faith, this sincere, not hypocritical faith that I see in you, Timothy, I remember that I saw that first in your grandmother and in your mother. That's where I remember seeing that. Oh, yeah, Timothy, I see it in you. But I remember, man, I saw it in your grandmother. I saw it in your mother. Can I say that Lois and Eunice did not just merely talk about God? They truly believed God. There was a sincere faith that they had. Can I say this morning, children can usually spot fake Christianity pretty quickly. You know that? I know a lot of times we think our children are just, you know, they're just young and they don't really know what's going on. But I can tell you this, they can spot insincerity. They can really see when we're not being genuine, we're not being real. They can see, well, yeah, boy, when we come to church on Sunday, mom and dad are always, you know, they're always great. You know, they're always talking so nice and they look great and everything, but nobody knows what happened 5 minutes before we pulled into the parking lot. Right? How everybody was bickering back and forth, and then all of a sudden it's like magic happens when you pull into the church parking lot. Everybody, there's no problems anymore, right? Because mom and dad said, if you do this when we're at church, you're gonna get it when we get home. Paul says that this faith was in Lois and Eunice. There was a sincere faith that they had. It wasn't just on Sundays. It was a daily faith in God that they were living in their life. Now, again, I want you to think about this. He says it was first in the grandmother, right? This would be Lois, and then he says in thy mother Eunice. So think about this. Eunice learned it from her mother Lois. And then Eunice, because she had learned it from her mother, Lois, Eunice is now able to teach it to her son, Timothy. And so Timothy there was a progression here as he was able to look back and say, hey, not only was my mom sincere, but I could see my grandmother was sincere as well. There was a real faith in my mom and in my grandmother. And Paul says, Timothy, that's why you are able to have such a sincere faith, because it was exemplified, it was shown in your mother and in your grandmother. Children know when church is just a routine. Children know when reading the Bible is just something that we do to check it off the list. They know those things, but they also know whether Christ truly matters in our home. Is Jesus just spoken about when church things are happening? Is Jesus just spoken about when, you know, it's time to pray before we eat? Or do they really hear Jesus being spoken about? Do they really hear about the things of God being talked about in the home? Timothy saw real faith in his mother. No doubt she prayed sincerely. She obeyed the scriptures. She trusted God. She lived consistent, faithful life before God. I'm not saying she was perfect. Please understand, that's not what Paul is not trying to say. She was perfect. She never sinned. No, but her faith was sincere. Her faith was real. And may I say this morning, a mother's greatest gift to her children is not wealth. It's not education. It's not possession. It is an authentic faith in Jesus Christ. Young people, the greatest thing that you can see in your mom and in your dad and your parents is their faith in Christ. And can I tell you, parents, that ought to wake us up and say, wait a minute, if my children are looking at me to see a sincere faith, I better be real. Because if that's where they're looking for a sincere faith, they're gonna see it in mom and dad. That means we've got to make sure that it's real in our life as well. Now, again, I'm not saying you've got to be perfect. We know there's nobody that's perfect. There's no perfect parents. There's no perfect mom. There's no perfect dad. There's no perfect kids, right? We get that. But they need to see that it's real. They need to see a real, genuine faith in our life. And this is what Paul was talking about with Timothy's mother. Can I tell you, children may forget many things that mothers say, but they rarely forget how mothers live. How do they live? What do they see in your life? A sincere faith will leave a lasting impression. That true walk with God. When parents see a mom that has a love for the Lord, a mother that has a love for the Word of God, that wants to be in the Word of God, that wants to be praying, wants to be in church, wants to be serving. When children see that, they will see a sincere faith in their mother. May I say that mothers shape the theology of their children long before pastors do. Mothers shape what children believe long before they ever get to a church, because they're learning from you. They're learning what you're doing. They're learning what you're living. They're learning what you're saying. They're following you as an example. And so we see that godly mothers possess sincere faith. May I say, secondly, not only do godly mothers possess sincere faith, but godly mothers teach the Word of God. Godly mothers will teach their children the Word of God. Hold your place here. Look back to chapter 3. Notice again, we find again Paul referencing Timothy's family in chapter 3. Notice in verse number 14, Paul is writing to Timothy, but he says, "Continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them." Well, who did he learn these things from? "And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus." You notice what he said? From a child. From a child thou hast known the holy scriptures. Can I tell you something? Paul wasn't around when Timothy was a child. He wasn't around. And Paul comes along later on in life when Timothy is a young man and says, "Hey, here's a young man that wants to serve the Lord, and I'm going to take him under my wing." But Paul wasn't around when Timothy was a child. But he says, "From a child thou hast known the holy scriptures." Timothy knew the Word of God from childhood. Why? Because his mother and grandmother taught it to him. They took the time to teach the Word of God. May I say that his mother, Eunice, lived in a very difficult environment, a very difficult day. In Acts chapter 16, the Bible tells us that she was a Jewish believer who was married to a Greek man. So here is a Jewish woman following Judaism, trying to follow the things of God, and yet she's married to a Greek man. And the Bible tells us very clearly the Greeks were consumed with knowledge. That's all they wanted. They wanted to learn and learn and learn and learn. They were consumed with knowledge. Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 22 and 23, "The Greeks seek after wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified." And he says, "Unto the Greeks, it's foolishness. Unto the Gentiles, it's foolishness." So spiritually, if we think about it, because nothing is said of Timothy's father in this, it's all the mother and grandmother. It's very likely that Timothy's father was not even a believer, did not even believe in Jesus Christ. And so she likely carried much of this spiritual burden in the home. Here's a mother married to an unbelieving man, and yet she didn't just pass it off and shrug it off and say, "Well, you know, it's not my job. You know, it's really my husband's job to teach him, but he's not saved, so, you know, oh well." No, she understood, "Hey, if my husband's not saved, it's my job, and this is going to fall on me to help to make sure that my child, Timothy, knows the Word of God." From a child, Paul says, "Thou hast known the Holy Scriptures." And I tell you, he wasn't getting it from his father. He was getting it from his mother. He was getting it from his grandmother. And there are many families today where maybe one parent or the other are trying to raise a child or children. Maybe one is saved, maybe one's not saved. Maybe there's single moms trying to raise children on their own. And may I just say, though it may be difficult, don't give up. Don't give up. Don't throw in the towel. Don't quit. It may be difficult, but realize that your children are worth raising right. They're worth raising right. They're worth teaching and taking the time to teach them the Word of God. You say, "But Pastor, you don't understand. I don't know all that there is to know about the Bible. I don't feel adequate teaching them the Word of God. I feel like I might make some mistakes. I feel like I might teach them something that's wrong." Hey, can I tell you something? If you have a desire to teach your children the Word of God and you just keep studying the Word of God and learning and growing in your walk, I think the Lord will help you to know what you need to teach them. He'll help you. I know it can be hard sometimes. Maybe one parent's not really involved in it. Maybe both parents are Christians, but one is just not really concerned about the things of God. What do I do? You just keep going. Keep teaching the Word of God. Can I tell you, if Eunice wouldn't have kept teaching Timothy at a young age, we would not even have books of 1st and 2nd Timothy. They wouldn't even be part of the Bible today. But because this woman, even with an unsaved husband, was willing to teach her children and understand, "Hey, I've got to do all that I can in teaching him the Word of God," Timothy came to know Jesus Christ as his Savior. And not only did he come to know Christ as his Savior, but he became a preacher of the gospel. He became mentored by the Apostle Paul. And even we have several books that are written to him here in Scripture. She taught the Word of God to Timothy. She didn't wait for the preacher to do it. She didn't wait for the Sunday school teacher to do it. She didn't wait for the junior church teacher to do it. She didn't wait for the school to do it. No, she did it. She taught her son, Timothy, the Word of God. She understood that the home really is the first classroom. Parents are the first teachers. May I say, really often, mothers are the first spiritual influence in a child's life. Mothers are that first spiritual influence. I'm telling you, mothers, you might think, well, it's not really that big of a deal. No, you have a great influence spiritually in your children's lives. Especially at the young age, many times they're spending more time with mom than they are with anybody. Moms, you're probably the ones helping them to learn how to talk, right? Because dads are only concerned about them saying one word, dada, that's it, right? That's all we want. As long as they can say dada, they know how to talk, right? There's a little bit more to it though, guys. They need a little bit more than that. And so moms come along and what do they teach them? How to say mama, right? And then how to say other words. What happens? That mother begins to develop. There's such a bond there with a mother and a child because she's the one teaching them at that early age. And what a great opportunity at such an early age, even as you're teaching them how to talk, to teach them about Jesus. To teach them about Jesus. You say, well, they don't understand. They're just little. They're just learning how to talk. They won't understand those things. Well, they may not understand everything you're teaching them right away, but I tell you, the more you do it, year after year, month after month, they're gonna start getting some things. They're gonna start understanding some things. I remember when our children began to learn how to talk, we would try to teach them scripture. And I don't think that they remember all the scriptures that we ever taught them, but we began to teach them scripture and try to help them memorize verses. And they didn't say them always the right way. But we wanted to make sure to start at a young age to start teaching them scripture, to memorize scripture, know who Jesus was. That's what Eunice was doing. She said, I want to make sure that Timothy knows the scriptures. And he tells us there in the same chapter there in chapter 3, he says, from a child, thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. As Timothy began to learn the scriptures from his mother, he began to understand that he was a sinner in need of salvation. It wasn't about a religion. Eunice and Lois, I'm sure they tried to do everything they could to make sure that Timothy was learning the right things. But the most important thing that they could teach Timothy was that he was a sinner. And he needed a Savior. And that Savior's name is Jesus Christ. He says, from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation. I know we have to be very careful. We don't want to confuse children and things, but it's such an awesome thing to be able to share the gospel with young people and to see them as they understand, put their faith in Jesus Christ for salvation. It's an amazing thing. We can't save them. The church can't save them. It's not about them getting baptized or being a good person or anything like that. It's when they understand and put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ alone. And there was a time when Timothy understood that and he put his faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Timothy's mother began to teach the Word of God. By the way, this was a principle that I think that every Christian ought to do. When you go back to Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse number 7, God instructed Israel to teach his word to the children. He says, when thou sittest in thine house and when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, when thou risest up, what is he saying? You teach them all throughout the day. You teach them the word of God. Wherever you're at, whatever you're doing, you bring God into it. God shouldn't just be something on Sunday or on Wednesday. No, God should be something that we talk about all the time. Man, look at how beautiful the day is. God's given us an amazing day. I mean, I don't know if you noticed, but all week it was calling for rain all week long. Praise the Lord, it didn't rain today. You know what? We can thank God for that. Thank God he gave us a beautiful day to celebrate Mother's Day, right? It's a beautiful day. What do? We talk about God about those things. We talk about Jesus Christ. We talk about what he has done. We talk about the word of God and Jesus Christ to our children. Spiritual training should not just be occasional training. It ought to be continual. It ought to be intentional, purposefully teaching our children who Jesus is. Again, a mother may think, I am not a teacher. I'm not trained to do this. I don't know enough. But can I tell you something? If you'll start when they're young, in a few minutes, we're going to have a child dedication. We're going to have some tiny ones up here, some babies up here. And you got to start when they're young. Start teaching them when they're young. As they get older, they're going to start learning more and more about the things of God. You know, the culture in our society today is discipling our children every day. And I don't use that word unintentionally. I use that word intentionally. They are discipling our children. The world is discipling our children. If you don't think they are, you need to wake up. They are discipling our children. They are trying to teach them through social media. They're teaching them through entertainment. They're teaching them through public education. They're teaching them through peer pressure. They are trying to disciple our children and get them away from God. To do everything they can to teach them that there is no God. And you don't really need to know God. You don't even need to even think about those things. You just do what you feel is right in your own heart. Well, there's a problem with that because the Bible says that a heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. And you're wanting the world to tell your children, just do what's in your heart? That's not a good thing to do. And so it's so vital, it's so important that Christian mothers are intentional and counter that influence that the world is doing with the truth of the Word of God. We must speak truth into their life. Many have heard of the famous preachers, John and Charles Wesley, but their mother, Susanna Wesley, had 19 children. Yeah, I thought I had a lot with six. 19 children. I don't even know. What do you just start? Letter A and just start going through the alphabet and figuring it, you know? I don't know. 19 children. Yet despite hardships and poverty, she spent time each day teaching her children scripture, praying with them individually. Her influence shaped two men that most of the world has heard of, John and Charles Wesley, that God used in revivals and things. Say, well, what happened? One faithful mother impacted those two young lives, and God used them in a great way. God used them because there was a mother that was willing to be intentional and continually teaching her children about the things of God. May I say, not only should a mother, a godly mother, possess sincere faith and teach the word of God, but a godly mother encourages spiritual courage. There's an encouragement for spiritual courage. Notice what we find here. Go back to chapter 1. Notice in verse number 6, he says, "Wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God, which is in thee by the putting on of my hands." He says, stir up the gift of God. But then notice what he says in verse number 7. Very interesting. He says in verse 6, stir up the gift of God. But then he says in verse 7, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. I think Timothy was just like anybody else. Timothy struggled with fear. Timothy struggled with timidity and not really certain what he should do at certain times and maybe standing for truth and things, but he appeared to struggle with timidity and fear. Yet somewhere along the way, his mother had instilled in him enough faith that Paul could call him back to be courageous and to stand for the truth. Stand for the truth, Timothy. God has led you in this. Keep doing what is right. And may I say, godly mothers do more than just comfort children. As you are teaching them the word of God, and as they are seeing your faith lived out every day in their life, in home, out of home, where they're seeing your faith lived out. You're doing more than just teach, or you're comforting them. You're preparing them to stand for God. You're preparing your children to do what God has for them. Again, the world teaches compromise. Just do what feels good. Just follow the crowd. Go along with the crowd. Don't rock the boat. Avoid conflict. But you know what godly mothers should teach their children? To stand for truth. To stand for truth. To obey God. And understand that many times when you obey God, it may go against the culture. When you obey God, it may not be able to just be going with the flow. You may be going against the flow. But a godly mother is going to teach her children to obey God and to trust Jesus Christ and say, hey, there's nothing greater you can do with your life than following him, than being obedient to what Jesus wants us to do. We need to be faithful, even when it's hard. And again, sometimes we don't think of the backstory here, but I cannot imagine what Timothy's mother and grandmother must have gone through during that day. Again, even culturally, it was so against culture for a Jewish lady to be married to a Gentile. The Jews would have despised her because of this. So now she's got her own people upset with her. But then on top of that, now she is putting aside Judaism and putting her faith and trust in Jesus Christ as her Savior, now teaching the Word of God, not only culturally, but now religiously, she's opposing her own people. Now she's got all kinds of people mad at her. And yet, Paul says, I remember that unfeigned faith, Timothy, that I see in you. I saw it first in your grandmother and in your mother. It wasn't easy to stand for truth. It wasn't easy to do what was right. Culture was against her. Her people were against her. Religion was against her. But you know what she did? She just kept standing for right. She just kept doing what she knew God wanted her to do. And what happened? God blessed her because of that. Now Timothy knows the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul finds Timothy, takes him under his wing, and becomes one of Paul's disciples. And now Timothy is out preaching the gospel. Now Timothy is pastoring. You see, a mother's influence, man, it can produce some great things in a child's life. Power, love, a sound mind. Paul says these things that God wants for us in our life, guess where they're cultivated? In the home. They're cultivated in the home. That's why it's so vital, it's so important that parents, again, are real in how they're living. He says, God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of love and of power and of a sound mind. Hey, where do young people need to see that? They need to see that being lived out in their parents' lives. They need to see, hey, it's awesome to serve God. That doesn't mean that God's going to call everybody to be a preacher. It doesn't mean God's going to call everybody to be a missionary, but it's awesome to serve God. You know what? Hey, young man, when I was at work today, not talking about myself, but when you're at home, you're like, hey, when I was at work today, I was able to talk to somebody about Jesus while we were at work. We were on our lunch break and I was sitting there reading my Bible and somebody said, hey, what are you doing? I'm reading my Bible. What do you do that for? And I got to talk to him about Jesus. You see, sometimes we have this idea that serving God is only about preaching, being a preacher or being a missionary or something like that. No, friend. It's simply being day in and day out what God wants us to be for him. And that could be at your workplace, that could be in your neighborhood, that could be wherever you're at. You have an opportunity to serve God and to stand for truth anywhere and everywhere you are. What about at work? What about in your neighborhood? Do people know you're a Christian? I didn't say, do they know you go to church on Sunday? No. Do they know you're a Christian? Well, how do they know? They're going to see it day in and day out. They're going to see it lived in your life on a daily basis. They're going to see it at work. They're going to see it in your home. They're going to see it in your neighborhood. They're going to see it in everything you do. Why? Because it's not just something we do on Sundays. The Christian life is just that. It is a life that is to be lived for Jesus Christ. So often we just relegate it to one or two days a week. No, it's a life we're supposed to live. That's the life that he's called us to. And Eunice and Lois, they understood that and they taught this to Timothy. I can tell you many missionaries and pastors and many faithful Christians can point back to a mother who encouraged them to follow God, even when it was difficult, even when no one else stood with them. I know some mothers have prayed children through rebellion. I know right here in this very church, right here, sitting today, there are mothers who have prayed day and night for their children to come back to God. They've prayed for their children to be saved. They are praying for their children to come back to God. They are praying for their children to be saved right here today. Can I tell you something? Don't stop. Don't stop. You keep praying. You keep praying. You keep looking to God. You keep begging God. Hey, that's what Eunice and Lois were doing in Timothy's life. Never underestimate the power of a praying mother. A praying mother? I wonder, are you a praying mother? You pray for your children? Do we pray for them to follow God? Or do we just pray for them in the areas that we want them? Praying for my children, but I don't want them to be used by God. I'm praying for my children, but I don't want them to serve God. I'm praying for my children, but I don't want to teach them the things of God. Then I may ask, why are we praying then? What's the purpose of it? If we don't want to teach them the word of God, if we're not wanting them to follow God and be obedient to God, what then are we praying for? Are we just praying and saying, God, I want them to be able to do what I want them to do? Well, that's not what God wants. Mothers need to be praying for their children, influencing them, encouraging them to have that spiritual courage to move forward and to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. And let me say lastly, very quickly, a godly mother leaves an eternal legacy. I believe that's what really we're trying to do as parents. Aren't we trying to leave a legacy behind us? But the question is, what kind of legacy? I hope it's a godly legacy. Paul mentions Lois and Eunice by name in Scripture. By name. He didn't just say your grandmother and your mother. He mentions them by name. They were not kings. They were not apostles. They did not write books of the Bible. In fact, the Bible really doesn't tell us anything other than this that they did. And yet, God has honored them for over 2,000 years. For over 2,000 years, God has honored them because they faithfully influenced one young man for Jesus Christ. Think about how many people all over the world have read 2 Timothy. They've read about Lois. They've read about Eunice. Who were they? I don't know much about them. What'd they do in the church? I don't know. How'd they serve? Doesn't tell us. So what'd they do? It's a great question. They instilled a faith in a young man. Changed his life. They instilled a faith and they taught their son, grandson, the truths of the Word of God that enabled him to become a man that God could use for his honor and for his glory. Can I tell you something? I don't think they would have chosen to be kings or queens. I don't think they would have chosen to be important people if they had a choice. Do you want to be a queen? Or do you want to teach your son to love God and to follow him and to him be used for God? I don't think there's a question there. I think I know exactly what they would have chosen because they did. This is what they chose. Timothy became a pastor, a missionary, a companion of Paul, a leader in the early church. But behind Timothy stood a faithful mother. A mother may sometimes wonder, does what I do really matter? Tried to teach them the word of God. I tried to get them to memorize scripture. Do my prayers really matter? Does anybody notice? Can I tell you this morning, God notices. God sees. And though it may be difficult, maybe you don't have the support of a spouse, or maybe there is nobody else there, it's just you, God sees. And he sees how you're being faithful in that, teaching them the word of God, helping them to know who Jesus is, teaching them at a young age that the most important thing they can do in their life is to trust Jesus Christ as their Savior. Every prayer, every scripture read, every church service that you bring them to, every word of encouragement, every sacrifice that you make, God sees it all. He sees every bit of it. The influence of a godly mother reaches farther than she may ever know. And on this Mother's Day, we thank God for the women who've prayed for us. I still, to this day, love to see a text come in on my phone from my mom. It says, I'm praying for you. Praying for you. Can't tell you how many hours that I know she's prayed for me before I got saved and even after I've got saved. Those are special things. They've taught us, corrected us. I had a lot of that. They sacrificed for us, and they kept pointing us to Jesus Christ. So can I say this morning, mothers, keep going. The world may not applaud what you're doing. They may not applaud your faithfulness, but I believe God does. And the seeds that you're planting today may bear fruit long after you are gone. Behind many faithful Christians stands a mother like Eunice, unseen by the world, but greatly used by God. And our prayer ought to be that God would raise up more godly mothers, that they would be able to see that unfeigned faith first. Not in the young people serving God, no. But first in thy mother and in thy grandmother. Does God see that faith in you? Their heads bowed and their eyes closed, no one looking about this morning, every head bowed, every eye closed. Friend, maybe you're here this morning and maybe you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior. Maybe you thought just by going to church, or maybe by being a good person, maybe by keeping the Ten Commandments or something like that, that that would help you to get to heaven. And I tell you this morning, the Bible very clearly tells us there's only one way, and that is through Jesus Christ. If you're here this morning, you say, Pastor, I'm not sure if I'm saved. I really don't even understand a lot about what that even means, to be saved, to have a relationship with God. I'm really kind of even confused about some of those things. You say, Pastor, I would like to know more about it. I would like to know more about those things, how I could be saved, how I could have a relationship with God, how my sins can be forgiven. If that's you this morning, and I'm not going to embarrass you in any way, but I do want to pray for you this morning. And nobody else is looking around. Every head is bowed. Every eyes is closed. But if that's you this morning, you say, Pastor, I'm not sure if I'm saved or not. I'm not sure if I have a relationship with God. Would you just slip your hand up and put it right back down? Anybody this morning say, Pastor, would you pray for me? I'm just not sure about that. I'm uncertain. Just slip it up and right back down. Nobody's going to come to you. Just say, Pastor, would you pray for me? Just slip it up, put it right back down. Anyone this morning? Pastor, I'm not sure if I'm saved. Friend, if you're here this morning and you're not certain about that, we would love to take the Bible and show you how you can be saved. after the service, I'll be in the lobby, and if you'd like to come by, I'd love to make an appointment with you sometime to talk more about it, because that is the most important decision you can ever make in your life. Christian, moms, can I encourage you this morning? Use Eunice and Lois as an example. Two moms that didn't have it easy, but yet were faithful to God. A grandmother and a mother simply wanted their children to know God. And God used them not only for Timothy to come to know Jesus Christ as his Savior, but for Timothy to be used by God in a very special way. Moms, would you be that woman, that mother that has that unfeigned faith, that your children can look at your life and see there is that real faith in your life? There's a lot of us that can be thankful for moms who've had that real faith. Would you have that faith? By the way, dads, may I say, you need to do it as well. It's not just for dads, or not just for moms, it's for dads as well. Men, women, young people, teenagers, we all need to have that same faith, following God and trusting Him. Father, I pray you'd help us, Lord, as we think about Mother's Day. Lord, we're so thankful for our moms. Lord, today many may even be missing their moms. Lord, we're thankful for, Lord, the moms that have influenced our lives. Lord, I pray that you would encourage mothers, fathers, young people, everyone here this morning. Lord, help us to follow that example of Eunice and Lois, to have that unfeigned faith. Let it be real in our life, that our children see it. Because Timothy saw it in his mother and his grandmother, it drew him to you. And Timothy came to know Jesus Christ. And so, Father, I pray you'd help us to have parents and grandparents that have that real faith, that real unfeigned faith, that our children and our grandchildren can see that in our lives, and that they will also want to have that faith as well. Lord, would you help us? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's stand this morning with our heads bowed and our eyes closed, no one looking about this morning.